It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, what you want to thank you, Roger? You just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, on a beautiful Monday, right? It feels like a Monday today. July 15th, right smack in the middle of the summer. And we got a little reprieve out here in Vegas over the weekend. The weather wasn't that stupid. Wasn't that bad. It's only 103 today. It'll get to 107. If we can just stay in that 85 to 103, it would be great. Not the 98 overnight to 118. If we can get through that, I think we're probably going to get through it, but hope you had a great weekend, everybody. I had a great weekend. I'm ready to roll. I got a lot to cover this week here. A couple days off, one more light vacation. I'm not a big vacation guy. I'm not one of those radio hosts that take 2 weeks off and go to Europe. I will next year, maybe, because I learned my lesson this year, Bobby. I learned my lesson from mid to second week in June through July 4th. Goodbye. Goodbye, no matter what. Goodbye. This was an interesting dead zone. That's the time between, you know, as we wait for NFL training camps and the end of the NBA Finals, man. This was a slow one. And I've been doing this 27 years and counting uninterrupted. This was one of the slowest dead zones I remember. So if you pick up extra shifts like I do, I'm just really a sports radio bartender. I'll do noon to two. I'll do 3 to 5 tonight. If you want to give me a 7 to 10, I'll do it. You know, they pay me well to do it. I'll do it. But I love being on the radio. The summer doesn't scare me. It scares a lot of other people. You hear a lot of Mount Rushmores and Top Burgers and best ballpark stuff. We try to stick to sports. But as I was touching with Bobby, over the weekend was a chaotic weekend in American history with the assassination attempt against our former president. I'm not going to bring that up on the radio. I don't. But there's a lot of athletes who are supporting the former president. And as I said, I'm going to get into it more next hour because I want to get into the soccer game last night and the crowds that breached the stadium at Copa America in Miami. And what happened over the weekend, when I woke up today, I turned on my phone and I couldn't believe what I was seeing on social media. I mean, the world is on fire, man. The world is on fire. There's a lot going on social media. If you look at Facebook, if you look at Twitter X, if you follow something else. So isn't it great to talk sports for a living? Imagine if I had to talk politics for a living, which I could. You know, they'd give anybody a microphone nowadays. Everybody's got a podcast. Your neighbor, the lady across the street, she's got a podcast. She might have two. What she sells on Facebook, clothes and garments, and maybe a couple of dishes she likes to recommend. Everybody's got a podcast. But, man, if you're doing politics, heading into the convention, coming off what happened over the weekend, man, good luck. Because the world is really angry and intense right now, and I choose to stick to sports. As I'm watching the SEC Media Days, and there's a lot of news. The soccer summer has come to an end. I was really engaged in it. I liked the soccer. We had some of it in Vegas. I loved the Euros. Wanted England to win. They end up losing to Spain. Copa last night was insane. They broke into an NFL stadium last night. Fans without tickets went to an NFL stadium. Hard Rock Stadium. I've been there several times where the Raiders play. The Dolphins on the road. I'm going again this year. Booked, done. I'm going. And I can tell you this. Last night, soccer fans breached a football stadium. Can you imagine that in the NFL? You imagine if you went to a Denver Bronco game and the Chief fans, 2,000 Chief fans showed up without tickets and tried to get in. It would never happen. It would never happen. It happens in soccer all the time. That happened last night. I was really interested watching that in real time. That was insane. We have Home Run Derby in baseball. Has that jumped the shark? Home Run Derby is usually pretty good. Whenever I turn on Home Run Derby, the way they, I think the way they show it to you, it used to be Chris Berman, back. Now it's pretty good. The broadcast isn't great, but the home runs are majestic. So that's coming, the MLB All-Star break. And then Tahoe. Hey, how about Tim Brown getting a hole-in-one at the American Century? Hey, everybody is connected to Tim Brown on social media. He won a big-time boat. I think that was a $200,000 boat he won for getting a hole-in-one. A way to go, Timmy Brown, on that. That was great to see here over the weekend. So here's what we're going to do today. It's our countdown to the top 10 Raider games of all time. We're winding down the honorable mentions. Now, the only reason I would be upset if I was you is if we didn't mention every game that you thought should have made the honorable mentions, but you don't know our list. You don't know what we're going to have for the top 10. You probably have an idea of some of the games, but today we're going to take two modern games that made our list. The first one will be September 13th, 2020. The Raiders beat the Carolina Panthers on the road, their first win ever as the Las Vegas Raiders, and it was a hell of a game. Hell of a game. And then the second game that made honorable mention, the all-time points record of 63 against the Chargers last year. I couldn't put it in. I couldn't put it into the top 10, but it definitely needs to be mentioned. And we got good sound from that. Obviously, it just happened. So those are the two games. We have one more honorable mention tomorrow. And then I'll get into the top 10. We're inside the top 10. And that will debut when I'm at training camp next week, when I'm at Costa Mesa. And we're out there for, I think, four shows in Costa Mesa next week. I'm heading to San Diego at the end of the week, a little golf trip with my buddies, opening day at Del Mar, one of the great holidays in San Diego, opening day at Del Mar Racetrack. I'm dialed up for that, looking forward to getting out of this, maybe a 30-degree or 20-degree heat change. So a lot of business this week. If you want to get in, start dialing. I've been, on a scale of 1 to 10, I've been about a 3 with the phones on this topic. I thought it would be better because I thought more people would want to be engaged on the top 10 games of all time. But as Bobby pointed out, a lot of the games are from way back, and a lot of people weren't alive way back. Or they didn't watch the Raiders back then. So I get that. I hope we pick up the steam today with some people that want to call in and get into this because I think it's a really good topic, number 702. 365-9200. So today, we got more Devontae news. I am not a stir the pot guy. I'm the opposite of that. I could sit here every day on the Raider flagship and come in every day and find a negative topic on the Raiders and get you to call in, and eventually I'd lose my job with the Raiders. And I don't want to do that. I like my job with the Raiders. I've had it a long time, and it's done a lot for me and my family. So I'm not coming in here trying to get one player against another player. I have to interview the head coach, which is a privilege to interview the head coach. I don't want to do a topic on the radio that I don't have the balls to say to the coach when I'm sitting down with him every week. So I'm not the guy that's going to stir the pot normally. And you can take that for what it is. I think I'm pretty aggressive on the radio, if you listen. I'm very aggressive on my opinions. No one's ever called me and said, JT, you got a weak opinion on blank. I think I got some pretty strong opinions. But when it comes to Devontae Adams now, he made national news because he decided to go on Peyton Manning's show Receivers, which I thought was a great move for Devontae because it took us behind the scenes of Devontae Adams' life, which was mostly football and his family, his wife. His wife is pregnant with their first boy coming up here, which is congratulations again. He has two young girls. And as I mentioned with Devontae, he's the best player on the Raiders. Max Crosby's the best defensive player, and Max is younger, and Devontae's already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Devontae's already in, okay? Most of it's going to be because of the Packers, unless he wins a championship with the Raiders, but his stats are overwhelming with the Packers. They're very good with the Las Vegas Raiders, but he's in. So he's going to join the all-time greats like Fred Biletnikoff, Cliff Branch, Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, the receivers in Canton, Ohio, who played for the Raiders. Devontae is a lock. If he stopped playing today, he's a Hall of Famer. He's got the stats. So today, Boomer Esiason, friend of the show, Boomer and I go way back, and Boomer's always been good to me. You know, Boomer has always complimented me in the past. He's mentioned me on his show, and I say the same thing about Boomer. I think he's had a hell of a career. Boomer Esiason's had a hell of a broadcasting career. I mean, how many years did he do Monday Night Football on Westwood One? And then he has that Sunday show, which he was on no longer, with Phil Simms and JB. He did that for decades. And he's got a big radio show in New York on WFAN that I sample from time to time. So today, Boomer made news because in New York there is a frenzy now because they're in the same boat I'm in Vegas. We're looking for topics. We're looking for things to engage you. And instead of me saying, well, Devontae could be on the trade block, why would I say that? It's not true. I know the cap hit. I know the numbers. Devontae likes it here. Devontae signed off on Jimmy Garoppolo going to the bench. Devontae plays golf over at Shadow Creek, goes to Chef Barry's, which I was at. I was at Barry's this weekend. So Devontae loves it here. I don't think he wants to go to the swamp of New Jersey. The swamp of New Jersey and uproot his family from Summerlin to go live in some New Jersey enclave. That's what I think. But here's what Boomer said today on WFAN that's got the Jet fans all riled up.
So the dead cap for the Raiders this year is $40 million.
If they traded him.
Yeah. No. So somehow they would have to work this out. I'm hearing that this is going to happen, if it does happen, somewhere in late August, early September.
Really?
Yeah, and the cap hit for him is $25 million.
Why would it take that long?
I'm not sure about why it would take that long. But Devontae's never going to come out publicly and say, I want to leave the Raiders. But you do hear in this wide receiver program where he does this, I got to get out of here before I get killed. I mean, he says that, and that leads you to believe, leads the viewer to believe that he wants out of Oakland. But I don't see him saying that publicly.
So he doesn't see that. A lot of what he said there was accurate. He likes Oakland. Now it's not Oakland, it's Vegas. Devontae likes everything. But Boomer's got to come up with the topic. And Devontae did say on the receiver show, he did say that he was getting killed out there. He was. As the host of the pre- and post-game show and at every game and a season ticket holder, I saw Devontae get killed last year out there, but I never heard the audio of it. That's why this show is so good. I never heard the audio, and I got pretty good access to the Raiders. I never heard Devontae on the sideline. That wasn't Raider sound that the Raiders were putting up at Raiders.com. Hey, I'm getting killed out there. Raiders wouldn't put that up at Raiders.com, nor should they. But Netflix captured that sound, and we're starting to hear that sound now. So I don't think it's Devontae's fault. If you're getting the crap beat out of you in a game because Jimmy Garoppolo is missing you and you're getting tattooed over the middle of the field and your helmet's barely staying on and you're going to the locker room because you're getting hurt, you better believe someone might pick up on the sideline that you said, hey, I'm getting killed out there. But that didn't mean anybody traded. Devontae, also in the Netflix series Receivers, was dancing in the locker room smoking a cigar. Boomer didn't mention that. There was no mention today on WFAN that, the Raiders finished the season pretty strong. They beat Kansas City on Christmas Day. They won so many games down the stretch that Antonio Pierce kept his job. You will not hear that on New York Sports Radio. You won't hear it because what they want to do is they want to create controversy to try to trade for Devontae Adams. But I also like to dip the show in reality. The only scenario I would see with Devontae Adams potentially leaving the Raiders if the Raiders didn't win this season. I think the Raiders are better than the team they had last year. As a matter of fact, I know they are. They have better players. Other than Josh Jacobs, and I'm all on board with Zamir White trying to have a big year. When it comes to the scenario that we're going to see going forward here, the only scenario I can see Devontae wanting out or the Raiders maybe thinking about it and taking a phone call from the Jets would be if the Raiders started off slowly. And Boomer thinks it could happen in August, September, which would mean that the Raiders look at their preseason and say, man, we're not very good. With Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Devontae, Michael Mayer, and all of a sudden the Raiders have a come-to-God moment and say, we can get out of Devontae right now. We'll take the cap hit. Let's do the deal. Let's get two first-round picks because we might want Shador next year as our quarterback. I would say that's less than 1%, but I got to bring it up. So why is the New York media doing this? Bobby knows because we have that Aaron Rodgers sound from the golf tournament, where Aaron Rodgers the other day at the golf tournament at American Century stirred the pot as Aaron Rodgers disappeared to go to Egypt. We found out he went to Egypt. I wouldn't go to Egypt. I would never go to Egypt. No, I don't. I'm not saying Egypt. I would like to go see the pyramids, but I'm not. I got a lot of other things I want to do in my life before I go to Egypt. Aaron Rodgers, no wife, no kids, has time to go to Egypt. JT the Brick in the third person doesn't. So then Aaron Rodgers shows up at the tournament with Tim Brown, got a hole in one, the big one, the American Century, and said this.
What's up? Do you think Luke Getsy's going to utilize Devontae Adams good in the new Raiders offense?
I love Luke Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
And I love Devontae. I can't wait to play with him.
Awesome.
Again.
Great. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
How's your game today? How are you hitting him?
Good. Harrison's playing really well.
Is he?
He's a little shy, but just trying to get him out of his shell.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right. So for that little wise-ass comment, got Boomer Esiason and got everybody on WFAN in New York saying, man, wait, what did Aaron say? He can't wait to play with Devontae again? Oh, my God, Devontae's coming. And then you get Boomer on in the morning show, and Boomer's up there saying, yeah, well, you know, this is what I'm hearing. And all Boomer did, and Boomer's got a lot more resources and connections than I do, a Boomer watched Netflix. Like, everybody watched Netflix, and it looks like Devontae wants out because he was pissed off in a couple of losses last year when they missed him wide open, and he got beat up going over the middle because Devontae got beat up last year because he was double-teamed and everybody was looking for him. If you're a cornerback on the other side of Devontae, so your job is not Devontae, you're on the other side of the field. As soon as the quarterback lets the ball go to Devontae, everybody on the other team, the linebackers, safeties, run to Devontae to try to take his head off. That's going to be his job as far as I'm concerned for here on out, no matter who he plays with. So I wanted to get that into the opening of the show. Because Raider fans, as I told you, it's my legacy. It's my crowning achievement here with the Raiders. All I do is defend you all the time. And all I do is remind you when other people go after you. That's it. Put that in my bio someday. Introduce me. Hey, here's the guy. Bring him on stage. Who tells the Raider fans when they're getting grief from someone else they never heard of. And the guy who tries to defend them. That's it. That's all I've ever done. Nothing more, nothing less. Here we go again. Why am I leading with it on Monday? Because they led with it on WFAN, which is 30 times bigger than the station I'm on in Vegas, which is a great radio station. It ain't WFAN yet. And Q will get us there at some point. We're not there yet. So that's what they're talking about. New York, the number one media market. What media market are we in Vegas? We're a lot bigger than people give us credit for. I can tell you that. We're a lot bigger here in Vegas. Oh, Vegas is market number blank. Well, no, we're the sports and entertainment capital of the world. Okay? we're bigger than you think. So I like this topic because there's going to be some Raider fans who want to move on from Devontae at some point. Some are going to want to. Raider fans who wanted to move on from Josh Jacobs and Derek Carr. Do you know how many calls I took over the past 5 years about moving on from Derek Carr? I mean, I can't count that high. But I think Devontae is imperative for this team to win. And if the Raiders don't win out of the gate playing the Harbaugh brothers, the drum is going to beat loudly, loudly to move off of Devontae and give Devontae a chance to win somewhere else. I am one of the believers who believe that Devontae can win here. I think the Raiders roster is close to being a perennial playoff team. I think this roster, with the offensive line, no debate, Robert Spillane, Diablo, whatever they do in the secondary. The secondary's pretty good. If you watch Netflix receiver, did you see what Epps, our safety, did to Justin Jefferson and some of the hits that he laid out and what he was able to do? He knocked one of the best players in the league out of the league. Trayvon Merrick's getting better. We know what Jack Jones can do. Hopefully, Jacorian Bennett. We're in the market. We're in the market for another corner. We're in the market for another corner. If these guys can't get it done, we're in the market for a Stephon Gilmore or someone else. You know that. A.J. Cole and Daniel Carlson were in the softball tournament out there in Summerlin. They're two of the best in the league. Two of the best. Maybe the best punter. 1-1A, and a top 3-4 kicker in the league. We got pretty good special teams. I can't wait. I told Bobby to call the play-by-play on the radio for the first kickoff of the year. That'll be another milestone for me, calling the first ever kickoff on radio in the history of the Raiders with this new weird format that they have. Maybe the Raiders will be really good at that. Maybe they'll be really good at that and be like the best team in the league. I hope they are at, you know, converting some kickoffs where you can't down it in the end zone, and they're pretty good at it. So that's where I'm at today. It was a good weekend in sports. It was a national weekend for global sports. What happened around the world was so much bigger than what happens in this country, with Spain beating England, and obviously what happened with Argentina beating Colombia. Those were global sports that were bigger than anything we do here, anything. Bigger than our Super Bowl, all of it, much bigger. The Spain-England game was much bigger than 10 of our Super Bowls combined. It was. Ratings. No one in Malaysia is watching our Super Bowl. Everybody watched those soccer games. So globally, it was a big weekend, and Carlos Alcaraz beat Novak Djokovic in Wimbledon in straight sets. That was a big deal. And I wanted to mention Asia Wilson and what she's doing. Oh, my God. What is going on with her? The last five games? I mean, the points and rebounds she's averaging? She is completely dialed in. She's got the MVP in lockdown, in absolute lockdown. Also went out to Summer League. Had a good time at Summer League. I went twice. Thanks to Albert Hall and the whole team out there. That was a lot of fun. I watched my Knicks play. That was cool to see. Ran into some friends out there. So overall, we're pretty good. We're really good. We're just waiting to hear from you. Every day I talk for 30 minutes and wait to see if anybody else has a pulse to match me. And if not, I'm going to get into these games. 702-365-9200 as we open it up. I'm over at Wynn tonight. We'll be out there for a Mad Dog from 4 to 7. And tomorrow, I'm off for an hour because I'm one of the guest MCs over at CCON, which is a big sports get-together, big sports convention with people coming in from Syracuse, UNLV, and a lot of big guests. I mean, the lineup is pretty cool, and I'm going to be emceeing one of the panels out there, which I'm excited about tomorrow. Busy day there. So this is going to be a good week. Hopefully you can participate. When we come back, the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Go on out there to watch sports, to beat the heat, to have a great lunch, to have late night happy hour. Man, you go have half price drinks midnight to 2. As long as you got a drive or an Uber on the way out, you're golden with that. Half price drinks there. When we come back, we'll get into honorable mentions. We have two more today, and it'll be the Raiders' first win as the Las Vegas Raiders. Much better game than I remember. That's coming up. What we like you to do is listen to the games and then react to the game. If you were at the game, if you watched it, or if you're just a Raider fan and want to do that. Everybody else watching on our YouTube feed, thanks for that. Hit like and share. JT the Brick YT. We're trying to get to a benchmark number. We're working hard to get there. It's only going to work if you subscribe. It's free. JT the Brick YT, as we are, as I like to say, out of the gate. Man, that soccer stuff from last night, Argentina, fascinated me. I'll dive into that a little bit later on. College football news this week. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox tomorrow. Got a nice lineup this week overall on a short week. Kind of the last short week, or maybe short half week of the summer as we count down to Costa Mesa and Raiders training camp.
Plum finds Jackie at the top to Hayes, 4-3 off the mark. Asia's there, the cleanup woman working it down low. And Asia Wilson now putting on a show.
TC on the call on Aces Radio. No problem with that, man. Turning up my college fraternity song, Psycho Killer. Used to bring 40 guys in a bar and get in a circle as this was playing. Want to talk about a group of guys going out at night. Love it. Hope everyone's having a good summer. Summertime Radio, we're live on YouTube, JT the Brick YT. It only works if you subscribe, but I'm going to keep telling it as we build that out. heading out to Costa Mesa next week. I think I'm going to drive out there on the first portion or fly the following week, but like having a car out there. Love Newport Beach. Love that whole area there, and hopefully the weather will be a little bit cooler. You could have training camp. The Raiders could have training camp here, and I don't know what the future holds, where they're going to be every year, but it's smart to get out of here this year. This year was worse so far than any other year I remember, and I've lived out here a while. So it's good to get a little bit of a breeze, a little bit of a heat break as we take a look and we continue with our top 10 Raider games of all time. So what we're doing here is we're going back into the history books of the Raiders. Now, some of these games you're going to remember, other ones you're just not because you weren't born or you weren't there, you weren't alive, and that's my job to go through it, try to find some sound with Bobby to paint a picture for you. But we've been enjoying this as an education piece, as a content piece here to try to get Raider fans engaged like we did last year with the top roster of all time. Now we're still in the honorable mentions, but we're getting close to the top 10.
We now present the Raiders' top 10 games of all time.
And the Raiders have won the Super Bowl championship. They are the world champs.
The history of the Raiders.
He is going to get inside the bar. Touchdown!
The games that helped make the Raiders one of the most recognized franchises in NFL history.
Just win, baby.
The Raiders' top 10 games of all time begins now. Honorable mention.
All right, so we decided with a group of friends that this would get in as an honorable mention. I didn't have this too close to the top, but I thought it was a really important game when we studied it and looked into it. September 13th, 2020, the first win as the Las Vegas Raiders, as the Raiders beat Carolina on the road, 34-30. The Silver and Black marched into Bank of America Field week one to face the Carolina Panthers, came away with that victory to begin the 2020 season 1-0. Setting the tone on offense was Josh Jacobs, who became the first running back in team history to register 3 rushing scores in week one ever in Raider history in a week one contest. That was pretty interesting. I didn't know that. In command of the offense was quarterback Derek Carr, who tallied his 19th career fourth quarter comeback on a drive that culminated in Jacobs' third score of the day and the game-winning touchdown. Carr finished 22-30 on the day for 239 yards through the air and one touchdown, earning the Raiders' record. And this was interesting, earning his Raiders' record 33rd game with a passer rating over 100. That one was 107.5, surpassing Ken Stabler's 32 games. Jacobs rushed 25 times for 93 yards into addition his 3 scores and also logged 4 receptions for 46 yards. The rookie weapon wide receiver Henry Ruggs III, also a contributor, notching 3 receptions for 55 yards, including a 45-yard catch and run, while also posting 2 rushes for 11 more yards. On defense, it was Jonathan Abram. Remember him? He returned to the lineup after missing the majority of his rookie campaign due to an injury and led the club with 13 tackles, 9 solo, tied for 4th among Raiders defensive backs in team history, and the most since Charles Woodson posted 14 on November 16 of 2014 against the Chargers. So our Raider honorable mention, this was the first, the reason why this is here, everybody's kind of simple. The first ever Las Vegas Raider victory came on the road. Josh Jacobs on the ground for the first touchdown.
On the 1 yard line, first down. Here's Jacobs at the hole. Touchdown, Las Vegas. It is the first touchdown as the Las Vegas Raiders for Josh Jacobs. And the Raiders, after giving up a field goal, snap right back to take a 6-3 lead.
The iconic godfather, Brett Musburger, on the call in that game. You know, Aguilar was a pretty good player here. Raiders really found a good player who could make some plays here, and Derek Carr found him on the road in the road opener.
Carr going to loft this one toward the end zone.
Caught, touchdown Raiders.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed. Nelson Aguilar with one-on-one coverage showed what a couple of years ago he brought to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Raiders strike back.
I really liked Aguilar when he came here. I thought that was a solid signing. They got a good year out of him. He was very, very much like we're seeing with Jacoby Myers. Aguilar was a really good signing. Jacoby Myers, I think, is better, and Aguilar was a good player. So I like what they were able to do there. This game was about Josh Jacobs, no longer a Raider. He's a Green Bay Packer. This was his third touchdown run to make it 34-30.
Obviously, they've got a score. They want a touchdown. First down and goal for the Raiders. 4:15 left on the game clock. Here's Jacobs, right side, 5-yard line. End zone. His third touchdown of the game. 3 games the lead for your Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, that was good. That was a big game for Josh Jacobs, as I said, the first game of the year to have that milestone, and to be able to do that was very impressive. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Josh Jacobs, one of the greatest Raider running backs in the history of the franchise, and the Raiders' defense got the stop late to win the first ever game for the team that moved to Las Vegas.
Raiders could end it here with one defensive stand.
Here's the fullback, and the Raiders hit him. I'm not sure he got it.
I don't think he got
it.
I'm not sure he got it.
Raiders were ready.
Harbaugh
did not get it. This is not even close.
Yeah.
This is Raiders football. Raiders football. Holy Toledo.
Yeah, and there it is, Lincoln Kennedy on side of Brett Musburger. So September 13th, 2020, the topic for you out there in Radio Land or anybody else listening on other platforms, what did that victory mean to you? We got a lot of victory. You know, we had about 16, 14, 15 honorable mentions that we've been pounding through. We wanted to get to this one here because it was the first win for the franchise as they move. Those are important games when you look at the history of this team. A lot of players are no longer here. Aguilar gone. Jonathan Abram gone. Josh Jacobs gone. Derek Carr gone. And that was 2020. We haven't even started the 2024 season. So I don't have a lot of Derek Carr games going forward. Maybe this is your opportunity to talk about Derek Carr and the impact he had with Josh Jacobs back there. 702-365-9200. I remember that game specifically because Eric Allen and I, that was the first pregame show that we did at the M Resort Spa and Casino. We did a few years there. Can you believe I just said a few years? Yeah, we did a few years. And I remember that. We were set up outside Raiders Tavern, and we were set up in the Coors Light Zone. We were all over there, and Eric and I never did a pregame show together. Eric Allen and I have done a lot together, but that was our first pregame show together and postgame show. And I remember the crowd going crazy there. We had a big crowd, first ever game there. A lot of people showed up, and the Raiders were able to win. And they beat Carolina. Very interesting that Carolina is the Raiders' home opener this year. So as I'm diving into that, and I'm not doing it real closely, but I'm looking around at some rosters and looking at some rosters along the way, we open up with Carolina in week 3 this year after we jump in there. And look, the Raiders at that time needed that win to set the tone for the beginning of Las Vegas. Remember, it took a long time to get the team shorter than we thought to move here. But then with COVID and fans not being able to see the team at home, right? And what was happening at that time, a big moment in the history of this franchise. So nice job by Bobby and our team as we put this list together to try to figure out. We also had Carol Davis lighting the torch in memory of our father as one of the great games. So we'll have another one next hour, but I'd like to get some comments on this game if you'd like to get through. 702-365-9200. Also, the Davante Adams topic, we opened up the show with that. How do you feel about Davante trying to get poached by Boomer Esiason and everybody at WFAN in New York? Again, I think there's a little bit to it because of the magnitude of Davante, the fact that the Netflix series just opened up and everybody's watching it. A lot of people didn't watch the whole thing. I watched the whole thing in 2 days because I knew that this would be a topic. I knew that Davante was going to come across as they had four receivers and George Kittle, the tight end, and I knew that Davante would be the most controversial, not in a bad way, because he was the one during who they had mic'd up the most, who was the most upset. Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't upset because Detroit almost went to the Super Bowl. San Francisco had two receivers in the Super Bowl. And then the other wide receiver was Justin Jefferson, and he was great. He got paid the highest amount at the end of the series, but he was injured. And he got re-injured in the Raider game, where he got popped over the middle of the field and had to go to the hospital. Marcus Epps put him in the hospital. The best receiver, the highest paid player in the history of the league other than a quarterback. Our safety here with the Raiders put him in the hospital, and it turned out that he would be okay and got paid at the end of the year. Another big thing. Justin Jefferson didn't have a big year because he missed 8 games or 9 games, whatever the number was, and he still became the highest paid player of all time after that for his unbelievable ability there. So we'll get into that as we continue on with our top 10 games. We're getting close. I think Bobby said we got 2 to 3. Yeah, 2 more honorable mentions left as we're going through our honorable mention, and then we'll get to the top 10 games as we continue forward. The next game is going to take some time to get through it. Because there's a lot of sound from that game, and it was one of my more memorable games that I ever remember. That was the 63-pointer, and maybe that will get your memory going a little bit better as we continue on. Monday, we are brought to you by our great friends at M Resort. I just mentioned that game. M Resort Spa and Casino, come on out there. Concert lineup is very strong out at the pool. See Ice Cube out at the pool? See some big names floating through the M, man. Great dining, restaurant recommendations, and beautiful rooms. Beautiful rooms. Raider signage all over M Resort and our proud partner here as we continue. I guess we're going to get no reaction from that game. Thought that was a pretty good game to talk about. The first ever Las Vegas Raider win. If you got a comment on any of those games, yeah, jackpot, baby. As they're saying on YouTube, jump on in to the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Tracy's asking the referee to quiet the crowd down. Miami fans famous to wave their white handkerchiefs as the Dolphins score in the Orange Bowl. The Raider fans have been waving the black socks today. Silver and black to the Raiders. 28-26 Oakland. Tracy retreating. Time moving. He heaves it long. It is in.
Turn it up. People got to match my energy here. Get excited today. We're counting down the top 10 Raider games of all time. Still trugging along in the honorable mentions there. That soundbite was a Phil Villapiano interception, as we're trying to bring in later on in the next couple of weeks some of the unique alumni who were a part of these games. Breaking news, Roku picks up Good Morning Football. Look, I got Roku TV, this or that. I don't watch Roku. I don't. I'm watching YouTube TV now. I know a lot of people try to get their content from a lot of different sources. The league has set to launch a rebooted version of Good Morning Football, the NFL Network morning show. Good Morning Football will return on July 29th with Jamie Erdahl, Peter Schrager, and Kyle Brandt remaining as co-host of the show, joined by former NFL defensive end Akbar Bajabiamia, our guy, Akbar on this now, and news reporter Sherry Burris. Schrager and Brandt will split their time between New York and Los Angeles. So really excited for Akbar. Really good guy here. What's interesting, the NFL will also launch a 2-hour syndicated version of the show on the same day called GMFB Overtime, set to stream on the Roku channel, with the Fox TV station set to begin carrying the show in September. So that's a television announcement today in regards to NFL content. And that's a show that's been pretty solid over the years here, but they're going through a big lineup change now, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm going to get into soccer next hour and what happened. I got a good story I want to tell you next hour at the biggest crowd that I was ever at. And how I feared for my life. There's no doubt about it. I thought I could have died at a crowd game that I'm going to tell a story a little bit later on next hour to jump in on. And then the other news here that's coming in here, as we mentioned, the Jets and Davante Adams, our teammate here, Vinny Bonsignore, pretty much called this complete nonsense. And Vinny knows more because he's a great Raider insider than anybody in New York who covers the team. Vinny says if he wanted out, he'd already be out. Vinny Bonsignore, 14 minutes ago, does Davante strike you as someone who would hold his tongue? If he wanted out, he'd stay out. Vinny Bonsignore, 30 minutes ago, all this stuff about the Raiders' Davante Adams is nonsense. On top of everything else, it makes zero sense to trade him right now. So that's what we're starting to see. You know, everybody would like to make a trade. I'm a Knicks fan. I would like to give up, you know, one of my bench players to get Anthony Davis. It's not going to happen. Everybody wants to make a trade. With Devontae, it cost a lot to bring him over here. A first, you know, you look at the first and second round picks, which were big, and that was the big deal that they made along the way to bring him out there. Dave Ziegler made the deal. I had no problem with it. Getting Devontae here, I thought was very important. And if Devontae moves on, everybody will judge if he ever moves on what the Raiders get in return. That's it. It's going to be, well, the Raiders gave up this, paid that much to get Devontae Adams, which is a lot of money. On the way out, if Devontae wants out, what would you get for it? I believe, like Vinny, this is all nonsense. I've told you from day one, I think this is propaganda from some of the other teams out there. There's a lot of, you know, I didn't have the Jets, Bobby, in the Raider propaganda category. That's usually Denver and the Chargers. Every year, everybody tells you how great Denver's going to be, how great Sean Payton's going to be. They're an AFC chance to win it all. No, they're not. And the same thing with the Chargers. If anybody's been paying attention to the Chargers have been trying to bulk up their offensive line to run the ball. To run the ball, that's what the Chargers are going to do. You know, Raiders are going to have an interesting time preparing for the Chargers because Justin Herbert's got a big arm. But the new-look Charger offense is going to want to run the ball along the way. So you got to be ready for the run, and you know Justin Herbert can make big plays down the stretch. Jorge in San Jose, you're up. Thanks for calling into the flagship. What do you got?
Yo, JT, you know, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to call in and emphasize just more of what you've been talking about with Vinny's report, with the documentary, with Devontae. You know, I think it's important for people to realize that Devontae was really transparent about coming to the Raiders and how Derek Carr was a big part of it, and how him and Derek Carr, they always had these conversations on the side about, you know, the fantasy of playing together. And, you know, I don't blame him for sometimes indulging in a little bit of that conversation with Aaron Rodgers, you know, when they met at the Kentucky Derby, when he even talked about it. But, you know, how could Devontae is a pro's pro. And one thing that I really appreciate about watching the behind the scenes in the documentary is that even though he got hit so many times, JT, and he did all these things, he always would find a way to be present for the team. And if you don't think, if anybody out there thinks that that is somebody who doesn't want to be a Raider or who is like creating all these ultimatums, then I think those people are completely wrong. You know, he had so much moxie, and I admire him for that. You know, I don't get in between players' motivation to win the chip. I could tell that Devontae wants to win a chip, but what's clear, and for everybody in Raider Nation to know, is that he wants to win a chip here in Vegas. I don't really know where else he's going to do it. Yeah, he can have a little reunion tour with Aaron Rodgers, but are they really going to go and build a superstar team somewhere else in New York? So, you know, for anybody else who's making these comments, they need to relax. Devontae wants to be a Raider, and I'm looking forward to what he's going to do this year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jorge. Good to hear from you. We all pretty much think Devontae likes it here. And his numbers are pretty good. If you watch the Netflix series, and it's not like a movie. I'm not giving you a spoiler alert for Game of Thrones or House of Dragon. I'm not doing that. This is not a spoiler alert. But Devontae went through a really traumatic season. And a lot of it had to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I wanted Jimmy Garoppolo to succeed here. Period. I wanted Jimmy. Jimmy has won 4 playoff games. Well, he was on a good team. Yeah, usually you get to the playoffs on a good team. Jimmy Garoppolo played on better teams than the Oakland and Las Vegas Raiders, and he came here. And if he stayed healthy, I think he could have been better. But the problem I saw with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I mentioned it on this show, when he was struggling down the stretch, and I thought we should have put Jimmy Garoppolo in the Minnesota game when it was 3-0, but we found out that Devontae signed off on Jimmy Garoppolo going to the bench. It was Aiden O'Connell. Once Antonio Pierce became the coach, the interim head coach, it was over for Jimmy G. You see that in the Netflix series. And Devontae is a superstar. He's got the Taco Bell commercials. They showed him filming the Taco Bell commercials, going behind the scenes, researching, tasting for Taco Bell products and all that. The guy's a superstar. He drives around in a Bentley, plays at the greatest golf course in Vegas. The guy's a superstar. We need our superstars to speak. Max Crosby spoke over the weekend. Okay, if Raider fans don't love everything he says, Max will talk about his personal life, politics, UFC, Raiders. He's the best. Our superstars need to feel comfortable to talk. That's why we're in Vegas, man. Frank Sinatra came to Vegas. He talked when he was on stage, okay? It wasn't Des Moines, Iowa. It was Vegas. Our superstars need to talk. And when they do, most of it's going to be here on the Raiders flagship or inside the building. I think a lot of Raider fans who watch Devontae on receivers are like, whoa, what the hell was that? Because we weren't aware that all this footage was being accumulated by Peyton Manning and his production company to take us behind the scenes. And I thought they did a wonderful job. But no debate, out of all the receivers that they chronicled, Devontae had the most up and down season because of the physicality of the abuse he was taking, getting hit. He was playing through pain. He went through a head coach firing and a general manager firing. I mean, come on. And then the cigar party started popping up. I mean, a lot going on here, man, with this guy. So hopefully it's cool and calm, as I've told you. This is the most boring offseason I can recall in Raider modern history. I am bored to death, and I'm doing the opposite. I am giving you content every bleeping day. Every time we're on here, I'm trying to pick out games, legendary moments, interview this guy or that guy, because there's no news. It's quiet. Shh. All quiet in Raider Nation. Knock on wood. Don't know if it's going to last. But we know something's going to happen. We're going to Costa Mesa as an organization. Hopefully everybody stays healthy. Knock wood again. Hopefully there's no drama. Hopefully everybody gets an Uber. Doesn't stay out too late. Everybody does their homework and their playbook. And it remains quiet. This is one of the most quiet off seasons in Raider history. Period. This ain't Santa Rosa with the snake going out in the middle of the night, looking at the playbook under the light of the jukebox, man. I mean, it's quiet time here in Raider Nation, and I'm all for it, except for 2 hours a day.